Good evening, everybody. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. My name is Tim Tuller, and I'm the canon for music here at St. John's. We're very happy to have you all out tonight for the first organ recital of the season. You're in for a real treat. Dr. Robert Delkamp is the university organist and professor of music at the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee. And I actually worked under Dr. Delkamp for 3 years, between 2000 and 2003, as the assistant university organist. He's a wonderful player, and he has a particular affinity for French organ music, as you can see from tonight's program. And I think we're in for a real treat. Just a few things to mention before we get started. First, do make sure all cell phones and ringing devices of any kind are shut off. There are restrooms available. If you go through the door in the back on my right, your left, and keep going straight, there are restrooms down that way. And there is also going to be a little wine and cheese reception after the concert, and that's going to be in Ingram Lounge. And you can get there. The easiest way is to go out this door here, take a left, and continue across the way, and you'll find it. These programs do incur some expense, and so there are a couple baskets in the back of the nave, and if you are so able and moved, everyone would appreciate a donation of any size that you are able. And also check out your program listing for the upcoming events. We have a lot of musical events coming up this year, and you're certainly heartily welcome to come to as many as you are able. We'd love to have you. So at this time, please help me welcome Robbie Delkamp.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. In fact, I was actually in St. John's Cathedral twice back in the 20th century. I brought my college choir here on tour, I think it was in 1981, and then I brought them back in 1984 after the first remodel of the room and the then new organ. And so it's been a great treat to come back here and particularly get to play on and work with this magnificent instrument that you have here. It's quite wonderful. So it's I feel like I've come back home after a bit of time. As Tim said, your program tonight is all French romantic music, particularly fondness of mine, these composers and music, and it all sounds wonderful on this organ. Just a little bit about some of the pieces you're going to hear. Some of them are very familiar, I'm sure, particularly organists in the audience. Others may not be quite so familiar, but I'll just give you a little background on these composers. They're all related in some way. They either studied with each other, or in the case of a couple of them, they're related by marriage. The first composer, Eugène Gigou, was the organist of Saint-Augustin in Paris. He was there for 62 years. 62 years. He's only outdone by Vidor, the last composer on the program, who was at Saint-Sulpice in Paris for 66 years. But these guys last a long time. All these composers were given impetus in the 19th century by the wonderful organs built by Aristide Cavalier-Cole, who built all the organs in the great French churches in Paris. These were new type of organs, but he called them symphonic organs, and it inspired a great golden age from about 1860 well into the 20th century, the early 20th century, of organ playing and music being written for these organs. Gigou wrote a great deal of music, but this piece you're hearing tonight, his Grand Chœur Dialogue, or Grand Choir Dialogue, his most popular piece, the dialogue bit in the title refers to a dialogue between two divisions of the organ, in this case the back organ and the front organ. The second composer, Alexandre Guillaumont and Vidor in the 1860s, went and studied with a very famous French Belgian organist, Jacques Lemens, who had impressed everyone in Paris by his playing and actually the use of the pedals, which most of the French organists at that time didn't bother to use. Well, Guillaumont Vidor went and studied with Lemens and brought that whole tradition back and sort of were the fathers of this playing and composing tradition. Guillaumont was an active composer and very influential teacher, toured this country twice, second time playing a series of recitals at St. Louis Exposition, and was very, very well known. And then the third composer, I'll give you some information on Gabriel Pierre-Ney. He was a student of César Franck, which is a composer you'll hear later on. And he was a really well-known orchestra conductor, too. He ran a series of concerts there. He actually succeeded Franck at St. Clotilde, which, of course, where Franck played. So already you can see there's a lot of relation and generational things that go on with these composers. One thing you maybe figured out if you didn't know this repertoire, these composers were, first of all, interested in virtuosic writing for the organ. They were all virtuosos of themselves, and they were also fascinated with organ color. This music is so colorful and makes it perfect for an organ like this that has an endless variety of color possibilities. I told Tim there's about a half dozen stops I'd like to pack up and haul back to Suwanee, but on the chapel. A little too difficult to do. The next composer, Léon Boëlma, all the organists know him for his Suite Gothique for the organ, a very popular, famous piece. He also wrote a lot of other organ music, too, besides that piece, and this little andantino I'm going to play is from one of his suites of pieces. He was related to Gigou. He was, by marriage, he was Gigou's nephew eventually. Following that, the great César Franck, probably one of the most prominent French organ composers in the 19th century, and wrote wonderful organ pieces that we organists are always glad that he did, and particularly his three chorales, which are the pieces he wrote right at the end of his life. There are three of them, and they're very different, and they actually make a very interesting three-part suite in some ways about what they're perhaps about. The second one that I'm going to play for you is a more somber one. Begins very, very quietly. It's like a passacaglia. There's a theme you'll hear in the pedal that keeps appearing. And then he brings in another theme, a chorale theme. And then finally, at the end of the first part, you'll hear this very beautiful, prayerful theme. So he presents three themes in the course of the work that he then, after a recitative, begins to develop. And then finally, that prayerful theme kind of triumphs at the end. Franck's music is all about darkness moving to light in many ways, as this particular piece does. that Vakshimana is one of the stops I'd like to take back to Suwanee, by the way. Wonderful. You don't get them like that all the time, and Franck specifically calls for it in that end of that piece. The last two composers are, along with Franck, probably the most famous and well-known of this group of French Romantic composers, Louis Vierne and Charles-Marie Vidor. Vidor, along with Guillemont, sort of started the whole thing off because they went and studied with Lemens and then started writing new type of music to fit the organs that Cavalier-Cole was building. Vidor is given credit for inventing the organ symphony, which was a new form that he developed to go along with the symphonic organ. And then his pupil, Vierne, who played at the Church of Notre Dame, continued that with his six organ symphonies. Vidor was at the Church of Saint-Sulpice, and he was there for 66 years. So he beat Gigou by 4 years. And in fact, he was never really officially appointed the organist while he was there. It's an odd thing. He was like the acting organist or something like that for 66 years. In Vierne's symphonies, in his other organ music, one of his great abilities was writing scherzos, the witty, short, playful movements. He wrote a number of these, and all of the symphonies have scherzos, including Symphony No. 2, which was written in 1900. It's one of his best scherzos, I think, and one of his most popular ones. The first movement from the Vidor Sixth Symphony is arguably one of his best compositions from his symphonies, along with, of course, the famous Toccata from the Fifth and the Variations from the Fifth Symphony. This particular movement is very, very much in sonata allegro form for the musicians in the audience. You'll hear two themes, one a march-like theme at the beginning, and then followed by a recitative-like theme, which takes on great importance in the movement, particularly towards the end. And in the middle, he writes one of his best development sections. And as you'll note, it's a section that tries this organist fiercely because it's 2 against 3, pedals all over the place. And it's the sort of passage one hopes that the planets are in alignment the night one going to play it. Anyway, I've enjoyed immensely playing this instrument and playing for you. Enjoyed it greatly. And so I'll finish up the program with Vierne and Vidor.